Good afternoon and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy and I'm joined for today's show by my usual co-host, Mr. Mike Jakubik. And joining us also are our worthy state deputy, Mark Diego, and our worthy state chaplain, Father Dema. So Michael, let us begin as we always do with our prayer. We'll do the prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, well, as you said, we have our worthy state chaplain and our worthy state deputy on. Good afternoon, Father. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Mike.
It's good to see us again. Just so that our audience knows, we are doing this on Zoom, and that's in order to stay within the governor's guidelines of keeping us all separated. Joe is in the studio for a change, so he's actually doing Zoom at the studio. So without further ado, I know there's so much going on within the state. We have elections going on, and everybody that had an opportunity to go to the webinar on Wednesday got a lot of information from Supreme. And without further ado, worthy state deputy, why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you're thinking and what you've been doing lately?
Well, the most important thing is the new initiative that Supreme has come out with just for the pandemic. And that is our Leave No Night or Neighbor Behind program. And the information's been passed out to the leadership. There's a guide that's available at the Supreme website, but it basically has five parts to it. And that is to reach out to all our members. And that's very important. So starting from the top down on a regular basis, I'm contacting my state officers, my directors and chairman, making sure that they're still healthy and staying safe. And in turn, the district deputies should be doing that with all their grand knights. And the grand knights should arrange for a council tree or some other, maybe the council officers to divvy up the members and to reach out to all the members and check on them, make sure that they're doing all right, that they're healthy. And especially a lot of our longtime members, they may need some assistance. Some of them may not be able to get out or may be afraid to get out with good reason. So they may need some assistance in getting some essential supplies, getting food and some other things. And often the people we seem to forget about is the widows of our deceased members. And it's especially important at this time that we reconnect with them and check on these ladies and see if there's any assistance that we can provide to them. Once we've taken care of that, then the leadership at the council level should touch base with their pastor and see if there's any help and assistance that that he may need. And there's lots of things that we can still do, even though the churches are closed. There's all sorts of other things that we can do virtually. We can organize and conduct holy hours. We can conduct some of our prayer meetings. Of course, we have the many good programs that are outlined in our Faith in Action, where the family prayer night, the holy hour, and the rosaries. But then you can be really creative. And I know that St. Joe's in Mechanicsburg, if you take a look at the recent edition of The Witness, it highlighted Father Rosman and the drive-through confession. There's some other churches in the area or in the jurisdiction that have a drive-by adoration, where they've moved the Blessed Sacrament out to an area where it's visible from outside of the church proper. And, so there's all sorts of wonderful things that we can continue to do. And of course, there's helping our community and reaching out to our neighbors, checking on the older folks that live in our neighborhood. But right now, the food banks need a lot of help. So making donations, of course, is always good, but also making donations of food items, and they could also use some help with workers. So for the healthier members that are listening, you know, and have some type of protective equipment that they could wear, you can volunteer a little time down at the local food banks. So those are the key things that are in there. And just because, you know, most of us are staying at home and working from home, we can still do the work of the mission, which is our charity and our service. And of course, the main reason, that Father McGivney started this, is to look after the widows and the orphans of our departed members. As far as the council, there are some important things that are happening and will be happening shortly, and that is election of council officers. And that can still be accomplished using a lot of the new technology that's available. There's all sorts of tools, such as the one we're currently using, the Zoom meeting, but there's GoToMeeting, but you can also do it just telephonically. You've got Dial My Calls is one example. There's also manual phone trees. You can use that as a way of checking up on members. And there's also GroupMe or TextMe. And again, a lot of those resources are listed on the Supreme website. There's something important I'd like to mention to the councils also at this time. As everybody should be aware, the physical convention in Pittsburgh has been canceled. We will do a virtual convention that will be on May the 16th at 11:30. The delegates will receive a phone call, and then they'll be able to participate. And then either the next day or 2 days later, I will conduct a webinar, which will summarize all the activity that will occur during the convention, and I'll introduce the newly elected state officers.
It sounds good. I know I really, I think that's, in a nutshell, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, mm-hmm. that's always been our mandate, is to go out and to do what we can for others. And I agree with you. You know, we always have the commitment first to our own brothers and sisters. And I think once we do that, contacting our priests are so important, because they have the pulse of the parish, and they know what the parishioners need and ways that we can help them. I'm real proud of our parish. I'm glad you mentioned them. We had nights out there during the confessional when Father Saad and Father Rosman were set up. And it was kind of interesting. Some of the area churches decided not to do confession because of the weather. But I will mention that our knights braved it out. It was a little wet. It did come down. I think we got actually more wet after confessions. And when we started to take the tents down, we didn't realize how much water was on top of the tents when we started to lower them. And so that was kind of an interesting part. It's not just our priest. I watch Father Marco is on Facebook, and he does a lot. Father Du Bois, all kind of priests. Father Larry, Father Richards, but Larry Richards, he's been on Facebook, and he's putting out a lot of information. Our bishop, all of our clergy are doing so much while we, the faithful, are, you know, we're really confined. We just don't get the opportunity. And I know I, for one, you know, I miss going to Mass. I miss receiving our Lord sacramentally. I mean, it's nice to be able to say the words. It's nice to be able to watch Mass. but it's not the same as being there. I know we're almost out of time. And, you know, that's one of the problems about having a radio show. We do have to keep track of time. So, Joe, I know you want to thank Father and Mark also. And so I'll give you the opportunity, and I'll be quiet for a minute.
Okay. I don't know if you guys are sitting near windows, but the front big window here at the studio, it's making down wet out there pretty good, as the Pennsylvania Dutch say. It's coming down raining pretty good. Maybe we can think of that as like a cleansing. Since this is Holy Thursday and we're going into the Triduum and Good Friday and everything else, have it wash our souls clean, if you will. Wash our bodies clean, and we'll have a good Easter weekend. We need to get up against our heartbreak. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, your Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may be brought by his passion and cross to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Bishop, all of our clergy are doing so much while we, the faithful, are, we're really confined. We just don't get the opportunity. And I know I, for one, you know, I miss going to Mass. I miss receiving our Lord sacramentally. I mean, it's nice to be able to say the words. It's nice to be able to watch Mass, but it's not the same as being there. And I'm sure, Father, I'm sure you feel the same. Your thoughts?
Yes. Good morning again, Mike and Mark. I like to second everything that Mark said about all the things that we can do to help each other and to help our neighbors. The other thing I want to talk about, though, is what's going on now in the church and what the church is looking at in the Triduum and all of the rest of what goes on with Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. I'd like to tell you a few little stories that we all know because we've heard them dozens of times, but I think there's a spirit behind them that we sometimes miss. The first two stories are about two women, and we hear these stories every year during Lent. One is about the woman caught in adultery. You know that story. We all know it very well. This woman was being chased, and they were about to stone her, and she kind of falls at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus says to the crowd, "Let him who was without sin cast the first stone." And slowly, one by one, all of these people sort of walk away. And Jesus looks at the woman and says to the woman, "Is no one here to condemn you?" And she says, "No one, Lord." And he says, "Then neither will I. Go and sin no more." That's one. The second story is the woman at the well. And we're probably more familiar with that one. Jesus goes, He's in the Samaritan territory, and he goes to the well of Jacob. It's the middle of the day. It's hot. He sits down. A woman comes to get water. He says to the woman, "Give me a drink." And the woman says, "How do you, a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan, a woman at that?" And they go back and forth. And Jesus says, if you ask the person talking to you, he would give you living water, and you wouldn't thirst anymore necessarily. And she says, "Give me this water." And Jesus says to the woman, "Go get your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." Yes, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And they talk for a little while longer, but that's not recorded. And then she goes back to her people, and she tells them, "Come and see someone who has told me everything that I have ever done. Could this not be the Messiah?" And they come, and they listen to Jesus. And then they say to the woman, "We no longer need you. We have seen and heard with our ears, and we have come to know." Okay, so what do these stories have in common? Well, first of all, I'd like to make a little remark. If you think about the story of the woman at the well, she comes with her urn for the water and puts it down and all the rest. The interesting thing is that after all is said and done, neither the woman nor Jesus get a drink. So what's going on here? What is Jesus looking for? What are these women looking for? I think what they're looking for is faith and hope and to get themselves out of the despair that they're in. And they find that in Jesus, in his preaching and teaching and what he says. This is very important for all of us because all of us from time to time, and especially at this time, sometimes we only see darkness. And the truth is that there's light there. And that light comes with the faith and hope that Jesus brings. That's what he brought to these two women. And so the nourishment that they needed, or the thing that they needed to slake their thirst, was not so much water or anything like that, and not so much not being stoned, but to have faith and hope for the future. I think that's what Jesus gave. He gave them that hope, that assurity that that there was someone there who would take them as they are, accept them as they are, understand that the woman who was caught in adultery, she remained an adulteress. That was in her past, but something changed her life. The same thing happened with the Samaritan woman. She was still a Samaritan woman. She'd still had five husbands, and the one who's with her now is not her husband, and all the rest of it. But there's a new element in this whole thing, and the element is faith and hope that Jesus brings. That's the thing that's going on here. That's what Jesus Christ brings to us, brings to the world, brings to each of us individually and all of us collectively. That is the thing that's going on here. That's the part, the most important part of the puzzle that we put together that is part of our lives. And all these things work into our lives. Today is Holy Thursday. We're about to enter the most important season of the year, the Triduum. And of course, most of us will not be able to go to church. We will not be able to receive the sacraments physically and all the rest. Holy Thursday was the day that Jesus Christ instituted the youth and the priesthood. And he gave himself in that bread and wine that he shared with his disciples. Interestingly, well, let me move on and then I'll come back to that. And so in the Eucharist, he gives us that physical, spiritual hope and faith and a good look at the future for us. That's what the Eucharist gives us. It gives us hope and faith in the future. That's what Holy Thursday is about. Good Friday, on the other hand, celebrates the great gift that Jesus Christ gave us in his passion and death. We read from St. John that Jesus suffered and died and all the rest of that, and we're sort of left at that on Good Friday. And then Holy Saturday comes along, and oh, by the way, in the midst of all of this, of course, Judas goes and betrays Jesus and all the rest of it. But then comes Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday, the great feast, the thing that gives us faith and hope for the future. That's the thing that's going on Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. And of course, on Easter Sunday, we have the empty tomb and all the rest of that. Something interesting about the readings and the stories about Jesus Christ's resurrection. Nobody sees him coming out of the tomb. Now, interestingly enough, if you read all the four Gospels, I don't want to put a wrong face on this, but each of the Gospels tells us that there were different people at the tomb at that time. The reading from John tells us that when Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that the tomb is empty, John and Peter ran to the tomb. John got there first, looked in, stepped back, and let Peter go in first, and then he went in. Now, here's the interesting thing. Of the four stories of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the four Gospels, as I said, they tell us who was there, and there are differences in each of the Gospels about who was there. But the one thing that they all agree on is that the tomb was open and it was empty. Interesting, because Jesus, after he rose from the dead, didn't have any trouble with walls or time or space. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room and all the rest of that. And time and space and walls didn't have any more meaning to him. Why the empty tomb? Why do all the four Gospels tell us the tomb was open and empty? What's that all about? Certainly Jesus didn't need that stone removed to rise from the dead, obviously. What's the point? Tomb was open. Well, I think the key to that is this. When John and Peter ran to the tomb, John got there first, looked in, and then stepped back. Peter went in, and then we're told that John went in. And rather parenthetically, we're told John went in, he saw, and he believed. What in the world is going on there? What's happening? Well, I'd like to suggest this as a possibility, maybe a reality, that the tomb wasn't open and empty to let Jesus out. The tomb on Easter Sunday was open and empty, not so Jesus could get out, but so that we could get in. This is an invitation, baptism. It's an invitation to faith and hope. It's an invitation to get what we all get when we're baptized. And for most of us, that happened when we were little babies, and we don't remember it at all. But that was the time when we were first given the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts and fruits were confirmed at our confirmation. So that's the thing that's going on here. John entered the tomb. He saw and he believed. Interestingly, back to the story of the woman at the well. Think about what she did. She ran back to the city and she told her townsfolks, come and see someone who has told me everything that I have ever done. And I'm sure she told them more than that. But there it goes. And so they came. Could it be possible, just possible, that this woman at the well was one of the first apostles of Jesus Christ? After all, that's what the apostles did. They carried the message of Christ so that others could come and see and believe. That's the thing I believe is going on here. That's the point of all of it. So that what happens is John entered the tomb, he saw and he believed. But there's another part to the story. And the other part is this. We have to take what we find at the empty tomb and put it into action in our lives. This is not just an empty tomb. We are told parenthetically by the Apostle John that John saw and he believed. Well, what did they do when they came out of the tomb? They spread the faith. They did essentially the same thing that the woman at the well did. They spread the faith. And that's what we're all called to do. So even though we can't be in church for the Triduum, and I know that's painful for a lot of us, and it's no less painful for priests because this is the highlight of the priesthood, to be able to celebrate these mysteries, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. All of these are important. However, the important thing is what is said parenthetically by the evangelist John. John went into the tomb, he saw and he believed. When they came out of the tomb, the thing that they did after they encountered Christ in his risen form, they went out and they spread the good news. And that's what this is all about. It's not about necessarily what happened in the past. Those are memories. Those are faith pieces and all of the rest of that. Not so much what happens in the past, but rather what it gives us for our future. And what it gives us is the strength and the motivation to go out to preach and teach, not necessarily by standing in a pulpit or on a street corner or anything like that, but by living the lives that we live, by doing the things that Jesus Christ calls us to do, by doing the things that our order calls its members and their families to do, namely, spread the good news, the faith and the hope that Jesus Christ brings to all of us. That's what Easter's all about. It's about the resurrection, and just as importantly, it's about the church and all the members of the church spreading the good news of salvation. That's what happened to the woman caught in adultery. That's what happened to the woman at the well. That's what happened to the disciples, the apostles, and all of us. We are given the gift of faith and hope. And the issue is for all of us to put that faith and hope into action in our lives and make it a reality. not just for ourselves, but for those who are around us, for those who are with us, for those who encounter us.
Mark and Father Dema and Mike, I want to thank you all, wish you all a very healthy, happy, and holy Easter. With that, along with Mike and Mark and Father Dema, I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Happy Easter.